major world religions. About 10,000 religions. And what you really find is these ones I've placed in this class, these seven or so, is that really the others are all branches of those and nuances of them and small changes and large changes. And they're just, so that's why I've chosen this one. If we'd went through all the religions, we'd all be thoroughly confused as well as I would be. There's so many different angles that you can take in religions. And guess what? When people are involved, what happens? Do they get complicated? Do it gets entangled? Do it gets a lot of nuances? And then when you mix in all the different languages, there's a lot of peculiarities with those. So these religion courses, one's going to be major religions. And I didn't really explain it last time. I put we started off with the world religions, and that's just too many. So I put seven world religions plus. And when you look at those seven religions, I've got those marked. I've really split the Catholics into the older Orthodox. And basically, the Orthodox started first, and then you ended up with the Roman Catholics coming out of them. There's a couple of religions, and then the other major world religions. And the plus there is when we get into folk religions, and even to an extent, I wanted to say that the unaffiliated people in this world, roughly 20% of the people are unaffiliated. And that means that they've got some religion in their mind. They've got some faith in their mind. They've got some things in their mind that have a connotation of something larger than them. But they don't really belong to any religion. So that unaffiliated group is a large group and growing. And so just something to think of. So that's why I wanted to do that 7 major religions plus. Plus when you see all the internet providers and all these sort of things, they all got pluses by them now. So I figured that'd be kind of a modern thing to do. All right, so I put that on there. So I wanted to continue the class tonight on these world religions. And we're beginning at page 5. In this world, there are billions of people. Billions. We're sitting here in this country with, 330, 340 million people. But when you start talking 8 billion people in the world today, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of 335 millions. And so there's more than just people in this country that need the things that are eternal in their lives. They need the religion of Christianity. And so I want to keep that in perspective as we look at these other religions. And like I mentioned before, religions have an interesting thing. They deal with geography. You can see in this country, geography and different religions, okay, are predominant in certain areas, or a greater presence in certain areas and a lesser presence in certain areas. And then when you project that into the countries in the Middle East, or in the Orient, or in Africa, not to mention Europe, you see the time that they have participated in religion in those areas. And that there's a certain predominance of certain kinds of religions in those areas, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Christianity, quote unquote. Okay, and so that's things to think about. I know many of you probably don't do a lot of world traveling. I know a few people that do, but you don't get exposed in those other countries to the language, to the customs in that area, to the clothing in that area, that sort of thing. But it's things to consider. You see that in this country because we are really an amalgamation of many different places of birth in this country. And that's good. That's good. And so we need to think about that as we travel our daily lives. I mentioned last time also that in the particular jobs we have, or this part of the city we live in, or whatever it is, you may not be exposed to some of these religions in this course, these major world religions. But that's still not an excuse to be familiar with them. and I provided enough material in this course material to refresh your mind later on if you want to review it, or as we go through it, you'll have more detail. And so it's things you can it's the research in the internet, which can go on and on and on. It's something for you to have in references. Again, as we go through it, I put questions for each of these religions, and they keep our mind of when it started, who started it, if someone started it, the major beliefs, and that sort of thing, and how they view life, how they view eternity. And I'm also asking each of you, too, that if you may run across questions that may not be plain or something, look it up on the internet. Punch it in and see what happens on Bing or Google. And you'll find some answers. You may find many answers, but you're going to find the answer you're looking for. If in life we need to always consider, and I mentioned this before, that in this life there's more than just our community. There's a world out there, and each of those souls need saving. Each of those souls need to be informed. Each of those souls need to be taught. We can see that by the men that we support, whether in Nigeria, South Africa, okay, in this country. And if you do look around at other websites and that sort of thing, you'll see that there's a really the gospel is being preached in pretty well every country, and even Great Britain and Ireland and others like that, in Europe. But there's fields are wide out there that are available for the truth, and the truth you'll find is one way to be defined, and one way only to be defined, and that's from Scripture. And we'll probably see in the course today that there's other views, okay, on how to define truth and reason, things like that. How do you come to those conclusions? So as we go through the course, we can continue that. Now, I was going to get a good definition of religion. You describe what it is, but where's the definition? And I'm still working on that because it's got a lot of definitions, especially the etymology of it. Goes back to 1200, some changes there, and then it reaches back even farther. But that may be an interesting thing for you to look up, okay? The word religion. Let's see how that come about and how it's changed into, spiritual things, okay, over the years. So just a point to look at. Now, on page 5, in the world today, 8 billion people. And that 8 billion is expected to go to 10 billion in 30, 40 years. And in 1930, there was 2 billion people on the earth. 100 years ago, it got up to 8 billion, from 2 to 8. Quite a change. Quite a change. And it's expected to go up more. And so there's no shortage of individuals to preach to help learn the gospel and opportunities that we may have. Some of you who are older remember 1960, small road. You remember 59 was a small road. You remember the housing condition that you might have moved into years ago, and now all of a sudden they're building subdivisions everywhere. So there's a lot of people in the area. And so there's very many people to look at. And also you'll find that there's, I guess you'll see a proliferation of, religious buildings that are being constructed. And you'll find that these religions of Buddhists, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, quote unquote, you'll find those are being built also to handle all these amount of people in the area. So again, there's many, many people that you will come in contact with and make an opportunity also to come in contact with. Now, on this chart on page 5, you'll generally see that of these 8 billion people, 2.5 billion in the world, quote unquote, are quote unquote Christians. So that's 3 out of 10. So there's 7 out of 10 out there that need Christ. 7 out of 10. And that's a high number. And whether we reach them through the internet, we reach them in our neighbors, we reach them in stores or play, we reach them in soccer fields, we reach them in anywhere we work or whatever, we reach them with the preacher that we support, okay, individually support, or at a congregational effort we support. There's plenty of people out there that need the gospel. And when you deal with this, we see roughly a 75% numbers in North America of these people and Christians. And the next group, which is interesting, as you go across North America on your chart, what's the next largest group? Unaffiliated. Interesting. And these people are people that may have some degree of faith, if I can say that, some degree of familiarity with religion and that sort of thing, but they just aren't religious as we would view it. And so there's the field is ripe for those people, okay? 20%. And so from there, as you go across North America, you'll see that the other ones are less and less. And I put them in a descending order across the top. So, but when you look at a worldwide situation, you see that these 8 billion starts at around 2.5 billion for Christian, unquote, and then 2 billion for Islam, then that large group of 1.25 billion for the unaffiliated, and basically the same number for Hindu, and about half that number for Buddhist folk and Judaism. Interesting old folk, okay? You think Buddhists are a large group, and they are. 500 million. But interesting folk is about the same number. That used to be called nones and things like that. But these days, folks have developed a identity of a sort, okay? Although it's a large amalgamation of all kinds of groups, and we'll see that description in just a moment. So it's something to be aware of also. Okay. Let's see. Yes, sir.
A question on the unaffiliated. I guess in your words, that includes the atheists and agnostics.
Yes, yes.
I'm surprised in North America it's only 19%. I would thought that it had been a much higher number. And I'm wondering, demographics, in North America, like 25 and under, how much would that be in that particular group?
Interesting, wouldn't it? Interesting how many? 25 and under. I don't know how many, but it depends on their background, doesn't it? You know, we talked a while ago about the region of the country and family and that sort of thing. How many of these 25 and unders have parents or grandparents, or parents, I'll say parents or custodians, that are religious? And I would think it may reflect. Or, you know, you may have a brother or sister. You may have a son or a daughter, a mother or father, who once was religious and they're not anymore. Or they don't want anything to do with it. So it'd be part of that group too, I would think. And certainly that's someone to reattach and reconnect with also. Good question. Now, generally, Judaism gets to be a small number. It's either 16 million, you know, and there's only 7 million in Israel. That's out of 8 billion, we're listing 16 million. But I think it's important to list Judaism. It seems to be on scattered around the world. Jews are everywhere. Judaism is pretty well every country. And of course, it's concentrated in a couple, Israel and this country. But they've been around a while, and they've got that theistic background. And the Old Testament works that they've kept alive for so long. So it's worth keeping that one on the list, I would think. You may have a tendency to drop it off, but I think if it was dropped off, it'd be because of prejudice or something like that. All right. Now, if we talk about... So there's another point I want to make here. Of course, when you deal with Europe, Europe is an interesting place, even though it shows 72% Christian, and that may be, but that number's going down. Europe is old, getting older. And there's a lot of migration occurring in Europe.
And they're including Catholic, Catholicism, and is that Christian?
Yes, yes. Okay. So it's a thing that we need to be aware of. It's just numbers, the numbers of people. Now, I got the next category there of Christianity. I just went down each one. And it's, again, we went through the numbers again. And, again, a major religion you kind of treat as something widespread around the world. And so that's why I've listed that also. There's been apparently a growth of that, Christianity in some of the countries, especially in the southern continent of Africa. And that's how we support some men from Nigeria. And of course, Islam is making a large jump in that country, also that part of Africa. But Christianity is very, again, I use quote unquote, but we support men in Nigeria and South Africa. And if you check those reports out, you'll see that they're very active in their work, the men that we support, and even starting some new congregations, new groups. And that's apparently an area open for harvest, okay, in that part of the country. I know the Catholics are moving into that area also. And the Asia-Pacific area is a very interesting area. That Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, the Philippines. There's some movement there also in quote-unquote Christianity. Of course, Catholics have been there a long time. And there's a lot of folk religion that lives and breathes in the Philippines, especially those areas. So it's an interesting thing when you talk about Christianity, quote-unquote. Now, in the next B part, which is page 6, Islam, we hear about Islam. Well, oil. Well, oil, yeah, Islam controls the oil. Pretty well, okay. The price of oil, but that's really in the Middle East and North Africa, and 95% of the people in the Middle East are Islamic. You know, when you part of the religion is a constant exposure to the religion. Prayer 3 times a day, prayer 5 times a day, that would tend to make you aware of what religion you have. Not to mention the strictness of dress code and crimes against the religion. So it's an interesting religion over there in the Middle East, and again, that's in North Africa. There's some of it in India. And what's interesting too now, remember we talk about India and China in this course. It may be a low percentage, but each of those countries have 1.5 billion people. That's a lot. So 15% of that is a lot of people. And matter of fact, I was looking at projections on it. India is going to surpass China in probably 20 years. It's very interesting, okay? Of course, China is a diverse religion. There's a lot of different religions there. But India is pretty well uniform throughout. But just something to be aware of. Now, Islam is the world's fastest growing major religion, and it has been. And I've got noted on here, it's because they got a medium age of 24. 24 years old, childbearing years. And the medium age in this country is 39. And the medium age in the globally is 30. But in those Islamic countries, okay, the medium age is 24. So you expect the population to be on the increase. And if the population is on the increase, and you're in a society and a culture that promotes Islam, then you're going to have more Islam, more Islam religion. So that population is going to increase. So birth rates are very important on that. Again, they've got their projections to go up higher. And I'll rate number C is unaffiliated. And that's that group we talked about a moment ago. And there's a lot of unaffiliated in China. Again, with that large population they have. And what's also interesting on the statistics that I have here is that the U.S. adults, they were in 2011 19%, and now it's 29%. So that's an interesting part there. We were just talking about with Rocky about, you know, the younger people, from 19 to 29% in roughly 12-15 years. So there's a lot more people out there that are susceptible to your talk, your example, and showing them about Scripture. I guess I'll say it now. The sections I have on four in this lesson, the multi-sections on four, are really directed at this unaffiliated group, and also to establish the validity and worth and trust in Scripture for these other religions also. So it's something to be aware of, and that's why I wanted to include that in here, because it's a good tool to deal with. Because if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, or you don't believe it's historically correct, that's what I went for, then it's just another book of myth. So was it translated correctly, and do we have it in our hands today the way it was on the original autographs? So there's things to think about, and that's why I included this section, really for these world religions when you come across, and also for the unaffiliated. I know in the last few months I've been aware of an individual who just said, I don't believe the Bible. Why? Well, I don't, just a book, like any other book. I understand that. So you have to deal back with the question of, is it historically correct, as a first effort for that, and translate it correctly, and do we have the translation we have today, are they really beyond question? And beyond that, you know, if you just look at the Gospels and that sort of thing, you can establish who Jesus is, who he was. And whether, if you can establish that in the Gospels, then you can certainly move forward into the epistles. And guess what? You can move backwards into the Old Testament also. So it's a place to start on that, okay, to establish the book. Okay? And I've got some examples of that when we get there. So the affiliate is a big group, and I want to stress that. I really, really did. Hinduism is the next one. Third largest, mainly in India and some other countries. But again, it's worldwide also. And when we get to Hinduism, you're going to find that it's hard to define. Hinduism really incorporates, like I mentioned before, millions of gods, millions of deities. And There's an intellectual pursuit of that. What do you do when one God contradicts another? They really don't address that question. And so you have to deal with Hinduism in this world. Again, I've known Hindus, and the ones I've known, okay, as these other religions, the ones I've known, they've been good family people, but they're just in error. And also, I mentioned last time also, when you're in a religion, your family's in it also, possibly, probably. And especially in religions across the world, family and culture are mixed in through religions. So to deny the religion of your family is projected to deny the family. And in India, even to the point of denying the country and the customs of the country. So it's a hard thing to deal with, and a thing to think about as you're talking to those people. The next one, E, is Buddhism. Buddhism is mainly situated in China and in that part of the country. Even though in this country there's many Buddhist temples and that sort of thing. So it's a religion that we need to think about and consider. And the Buddha, is there one God, but who are the other gods? And page 7, folk religion. Again, I wanted to put that in. Because when you deal with folk religion, it tends to be a religion that's not organized. It tends to be a religion that doesn't have a pope, an international leader. Folk religion seems to be those things that are grounded in beliefs that are popular, or native religion. One that maybe we are familiar with in this country is the American Indian. You can, if you look into the customs and beliefs and religions of American Indians, they're the same and not the same. But their customs and that sort of thing and the way they recognize their deities and their religions are unique to them. And the same thing happens throughout the world. We can have people who are in the Amish are even classified as that. But in the Caribbean area, you can have voodoo, you can have things like that, not in New Orleans or in the Caribbean area. That kind of classification is folk religions. Now, when you get to China, the number is much bigger. And China does a lot of reverence with statues and that sort of thing inside their houses and their businesses and that sort of thing, where they recognize something larger than themselves. So those kind of need to be special on that. Now, let's see. And we'll see again in folk religion that there's a lot of mysticism in that. A lot of superstition. You might even say some handling of snakes could be part of that in certain areas. So keep that in mind. Now, Judaism is number G. Again, I put that in there because, again, I believe it to be a world religion, which it is, scattered throughout the world. But 80% of the Jews, live in the United States and Israel. And it's something to understand with that because, like we talked about last time, you may not run across a Jew in the way they look here in Humble. But you certainly will in Southwest Houston. And like I talked to Alex last time in New York, you certainly will. So there's concentrations But there are things to think about if you do run across Judaism or seek them out. Now, that's those religions. And when we think about those, we think about the idea of what is it? What makes a religion religion? What are some common beliefs? What are some things that pull them together? And from a non-biblical, sociological expert view, okay, this is people are supposed to be outside of religion, but they look from the outside in. And there's certain aspects, certain characteristics, certain things that are part of religion's belief systems. And like I mentioned before, when you talk about these, you're talking about a socio-economic, family, cultural, all mixed together. So, and you talk about this sociological, that's a study of how people's social locations shape their experiences and their place in society shape their religion. Are religions shaped by your place in society? I'm going to call them classes. Because that's where you may have predominance of a certain religion in a certain sect or a certain economic group. So it's things to think about. You'll find that a lot when we get to the India and that sort of thing. And the caste system they have, it's extreme. As a matter of fact, or was it this 2 weeks ago? And up in Washington, they made one of the caste systems with special privileges written into law to protect them from abuse. And we'll get to that later. Okay, but it's still going on, these caste systems. And again, a caste system, if you consider it lowly, then your religion's got to be the lowly religion also. Very interesting. So when we look at these non-biblical sociological experts and how people's religion, their social class, and experiences and their society in which they live is an effect on religion. We have to mix in culture also. And what is culture? What's the culture of this group of people here as opposed to another country? If you read reports from Nigeria or from South America, Chile, and that sort of thing, the culture is a little different in it, much different. But there's still people that need Christ. Cultures are ways of living. Generally, they're passed down. You pass things down to your kids, or things passed down to you from your parents and grandparents? Probably. Okay? Norms and things. There's a code of manners, a dress, a language, certain rituals. Okay, rituals. Arts and even sports are cast down. You know, were we a soccer country 20 years ago? I'm getting to be a soccer country now. But baseball. Okay, there's all kinds of things that are in a culture that's revered by the culture, honored by the culture, kept going by the culture. So it's things to think about. And again, not to mention the last is religion in a culture. Yeah. And again, you can see what part of the country you were raised in. Now, in that first view, religion consists in the feeling of absolute dependence. What does that mean? What does it mean, absolute dependence? Well, there's something bigger than the self. It's a power out there that provides for you, protects for you, protects you. And religion comes from a feeling of absolute dependence. And when you have that dependence, then you're going to rely on something larger than yourself. Power of provisions. So it's an interesting point there of view. The next, number two, the pure and reverential disposition of frame of mind that we call piety. Are religious people have devotion? Yeah, they do. something higher than them, don't they? Okay? They have that devotion. They develop it in their character. It's called piety. And they do that by trust. I trust in something larger than I myself. So that's something to think about as a characteristic from a sociological point of view. Number three, generally, in these societies, you have systems of beliefs and practices by means of which a group of people struggle with an ultimate problem of human life. Why am I here? Where did I come from? What's my purpose here? Everybody, no matter what language, what country, wherever you are, that's a question that you want religion to answer. And we'll see in this course that of these major religions, they answer that question. It may or not be a biblical answer, but it's still an answer because people strive for identity. People strive for belonging. And it's one of the things he's noticed here. Let's see, his purpose to life and guidance now. And the next view on this from a sociological point of view, why do you do what you do? Any belief in something is divine. And there's six characteristics of that. Yeah, I numbered that wrong. It's one, and then number two, three, four, five, six, and seven are A, B, C, D. So the six are underneath the six characteristics. But what's interesting on that as a view for the divine and the purpose and need for something divine, you look at James 1:26 and 27, and you have to understand the dependence. Remember we talked about the idea of something larger than myself that I can depend on for provision and protection and guidance. Where am I going? Why am I here? So James wanted Christians to understand this dependence is on this divine God, Jehovah God. And that here he says we're blessed when we do, when we abide in the law of liberty. There's something, a document, a written language by this God, when we depend on that law of liberty, which will save our soul, in verse 21 there. And this religion of James, okay, is a pattern of behavior, morality, beliefs, ethics, organization. We must be doers of God's good works, depending on the grace of God. So we can see that just that verse in James, those give us the idea that we can have a dependence there, okay, and we have direction. And we'll see that as one of the doctrinal issues, number three. And again, that verse in Acts 13, 42 and 43, of course, Paul and Barnabas, their understanding there and preaching and teaching the idea of dependence. Dependence on something divine. And and the Christians need to understand that you need to yearn for this. That you need to, it was made known that Christ in this dependence that you depend on did not decay, but rose again. And that through that risen Lord, okay, there are forgiveness of sins. We'll also notice in these religions that sin sometimes is not anything really moral, nothing a big deal, okay, in a religion or so that we'll look at in this course. I just stumbled a little bit and I got back up, I'm okay. So there's really no long-lasting consequence of it. So that's the idea of sin. And when we looked at that last verse in Acts 13 and 26, again, Christians understand that dependence is on the divine God, and from one's youth should be that way, into their adulthood. And Paul dealt with that, and that all of it rests in a hope of the promise made by God in the Old Testament to Abraham and David. So those sort of things are important in the idea of a sociological viewpoint. Now, Number one is ritual. Do we have rituals? I guess you'd say. It's a characteristic of the sociological impact of that. We have activities and formalized practice, worships. We have actions that we do. Okay, faith, yes, we met that requirement. How about mythological? Stories kept in fundamental beliefs? Well, that's called mythological here. But do we, in teaching class, especially the Old Testament, are there character studies there? Are there instances that teach principles, teach faith, teach actions, morality? Yes, there are. Okay, so that's just a characteristic of that. And you see, it says four on yours, doctrinal, systematic of beliefs. Well, yes, we've got the written and the verbal system. Okay, we call it the Bible. Other religions would call it Vedas. There's different words for that. The Quran. So all these systems, okay, of belief and religion, that sort of thing, have written languages, okay, or written beliefs in a doctrinal sense. And in year five, it says ethical. Do all religions have a moral code? Yeah, they do. They do. Now, their moral code may not extend beyond their faith in a hard sense, but they certainly understand that there are moral codes. Some are more strict than others, but murder is murder, I guess, in all religions and all faiths and all countries. So they all have that as a characteristic, okay, of this deity or this being or this essence that is larger than yourself. And then that number six on yours, the E, the social. There's things that people share together. People want to share with others. People don't like to be alone. And you want to be common face, common characteristics of other people. And that's done by these rituals. It's done by these documents. It's done by the stories that you deal with. So those things would pull people together and keep people together. And in some places around the world, they still have theocracies in their governments. So that would really tend to keep them on the track, okay? Because you can drop a lot of hammers on them if they're don't conform. And in some religions, you have experimental or personal things that go through. It's a little hard to define this one, but there's still out there people that are experimenting with drugs to experience God. There are people that can heal or revelations. They can be prophetic. A lot of things like that. And that they want to experience God. So that's kind of that experimental part of it. Experimental too may be, there was 10,000 religions and they want 10,001. So it's things to think about. Now, do all religions lead to God? And quickly here, you can be exclusive. Okay, you can have one religion that's fundamentally true, and that's it. You're a Christian because of the New Testament, aren't you? Does that allow any room to be a Hindu or a Buddhist? See, and the second one is inclusive. Well, if you're talking about inclusive, you're talking about something that envelops the others. The Catholic Church and the denominations, they claim to be their children. They're just wayward children, all these denominations that come out of the Catholic Church. So in a sense, all these denominations are Catholic, quote, unquote. So it's an interesting point there they can deal with. And the last one is pluralism, which we'll quit after this. Is that there are just a lot of religions. Many roads lead to heaven. Many roads lead to eternal life. That's pluralism. We can go over that a little bit next time. So we'll start on page 8. D next time. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.